This morning's reading is from Galatians chapter 5. This is the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, a rather long letter of difficult truths, but always encouragement and grace. Again, this is in a translation from The Message, which is a more contemporary translation, and perhaps a little easier for us to understand and hear. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time: repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates all things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessity is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implication in every detail in our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us was better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. This is a word of our Lord. Grace and peace to you this morning from our Lord Jesus Christ, who has set us free to live a free life and calls us to take our stand in that freedom. Independence Day is quickly approaching with the alluring scent of sulfur from the fireworks, the abundance of hot dogs and hamburgers from rows of barbecues, and the pride and the pageantry of parades. On the 4th of July, we commemorate the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. That includes this moral statement: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Sound familiar? Yeah. Founders perceived the word liberty as freedom from tyranny and control of King George III of Great Britain, and as a society in which people are able to act and speak freely without controls or restraints, yet within the common laws of that society. Freedom, thus, is the central theme to our celebration of the 4th of July. And our society has defended and enjoyed a history of freedom in speech, thought, religion, politics, economics, and pursuits. A critique, however, is that our sense of freedom seems to have become overly self-focused. We believe in individualism. That is, that the creation of a democratic society is one in which individuals are left free to pursue that private satisfactions independent of others, where individual achievement and self-fulfillment are the primary purposes of freedom. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Galatia, had a very different notion of freedom. He is writing to a church consisting primarily of Gentiles, that is, of you and me, who were daunted by their Jewish evangelists and cohorts who were insisting that in order to become followers of Jesus, they first had to convert to Judaism, which included keeping Jewish feasts and becoming circumcised. However, they were granted latitude to pursue their personal indulgences, their individual self-fulfillment. And Paul is denouncing that theology in his letter. Paul previously insisted that freedom in Christ implies freedom from the requirements of Jewish law. He states that God has called each and every one of us to a free life, but this free life, this freedom, is not an excuse to do whatever you want, but rather to serve one another in love. Freedom grows from our care and our compassion to our family, to our neighbors, to our community, and to our world, and especially to the marginalized, the vulnerable, and the suffering. Paul asserts that God's word can be summed up in one single sentence: love others as you love yourself. This love is an expression of true freedom. Now, this is a challenge to our sense of individualism in this country. Paul is stating that freedom is a responsibility and a commitment to the welfare of others in our community. And in our expansive modern day purview, the welfare of others on our small planet that we share together. The law to which Christians are bound is not one of circumcisions or foods or calendars, but rather the ethical and central command of love. This is the singular fruit, love for others, that the Holy Spirit inspires and generates. Jesus was born, lived, died, and was raised for this radical law of love for all humanity. And all means all. This law of love is also reflected in another iconic American symbol, the Statue of Liberty. Inscribed on the base of the statue are these words: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." This is the radical and expansive law of love that Paul is speaking about, the DNA of liberty and freedom as experienced and expressed by our country. So we need not see patriotism through the lens of the question, "What's in it for me?" Rather, our country's history and our Christian faith invites us into the question, how do we live freely? We grow freedom through our care and compassion for ourselves and others. To do otherwise is to diminish our freedom in Christ. Paul emphasizes that Christ followers retain a conviction that a basic holiness permeates all things and all people through the Spirit, and that we are called to remain committed to these relationships, not needing to force our way through life, but rather to be guided by the Spirit. Paul urges that we do not simply hold this concept of freedom and its growth through love as a sentiment in our hearts or an idea in our head. Rather, it is through being intentional about the decisions that we make each and every day in our lives. By our fruits of love, the world will know us, not only by our words, but our deeds. So the mission statement that holds this community we call Trinity together embraces that same spirit of freedom. I invite you to turn to the third page in your green bulletin, where you will find that mission statement, this law of expansive and radical love. And let's join in speaking those words together. Trinity Lutheran Church is a family of followers of Jesus Christ, committed to sharing the gospel and graciously serving all of God's people with love and hospitality. Well done, us. And capitalized are the letters A-L-L, all. All means all. So as you hang the patriotic banners and fire up the barbecues and unfold your chairs to watch the parade or gaze up to the heavens to watch the fireworks, my invitation for you is to also grow in freedom through words and actions of compassion, of kindness, and love for the neighbor and the stranger, especially for children. Children suffering in humanitarian crisis in our community, in our country, and around the world. As Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. May you live and grow into the fullness of your freedom as a follower of Christ, this day and always. Amen.